Good afternoon. This is the Midday News for today, Friday, July 22nd. I'm your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin. In the headlines, journalist Kalal John Baptist wants perpetrator to come clean on missing monies from Monjon Primary Savings Program. U.S. Barbados Embassy again slaps down claims of deportation of criminals. And data suggests Brexit causes dramatic drop in U.K. economy. The news is brought to you compliments Courts Dominica Limited, Fast Cash and Argo Cements. The details after this.
The anticipation for greatness is in the air, and you won't want to miss a moment. At Courts, we have what you need to keep pace with all the excitement. Get the latest technology in TVs, computers, and mobile devices. Plus, shop today and go for gold and get 15% off your next purchase. And with Courts Ready Finance, you can get what you need now. So keep pace with the latest technology only at Courts, bringing value home.
I need a fast cash to get me started, cause I wanna get ahead in life. When times get rough, you don't have to be tough. Fast cash will make it right. Fast cash.
Get the cash advance you need.
Fast cash.
In just 2 hours.
Fast cash.
Up to $8,000 can be yours.
Fast cash. I need fast cash to get me started, cause I wanna get ahead in life. No matter what the problem, fast cash can solve it. Fast cash will make it right. Fast cash.
Fast cash. Your money, your way.
Behind the construction of our house, there is the tireless optimism of my husband.
Behind the construction of this bridge are the problem solvers that make it possible.
Behind the design of every great building, there is a facilitator to make it happen.
Behind every builder of the future are the people that believe in him.
In Argos Cement, we believe in the people that build values, because those who give green light to their goals are the ones that make them come true. Argos Cement, green light for Dominica.
General Manager of Dominica's sole electricity company, Bertilia McKenzie, is reporting an injury-free rate of zero following the company's first safety stand-down in January of this year. McKenzie highlighted some of the results for the first half of the year. She says the results have demonstrated that Domlec employees are not only thinking safety, but are practicing it as well.
Our first safety stand-down in January 2016, we at Domlec promised to work towards the ultimate goal of zero safety incidents through the achievement of our safety, health, and environment objectives. We are pleased to highlight that for the first half of the year, our results have been as follows. An all-injury frequency rate of zero, 66% of our health and safety work plan has been completed, 69% of the year 2 environmental management system program is complete. 70% of our employees have participated in the program to introduce the ECL health and safety manual. 58% of our employees have submitted at least one proactive report. Indeed, we have demonstrated that we are thinking safety, acting safely, and championing safety.
McKenzie says the process is ongoing and complacency should never be entertained at Domlec.
However, as I always remind us in my various interactions with employees at every level in Domlec, it is a continuous process and complacency should never be entertained. Employees have embraced this whole concept of safety and have articulated to me and to other management team members their concerns that the proactive reports are not being actioned in a timely fashion, and that if they are, the employees are not being apprised of this. Management has noted these concerns. After all, we do not want our employees to become demotivated by our tardiness in resolving the proactive issues raised. Consequently, management pledges to remedy this deficiency in the system, and in fact, we've already commenced doing so.
The Royal Bank of Canada Dominica branch has introduced a new country manager. Ender Henry is equipped with a Bachelor of Science degree in a business administration and 19 years of extensive knowledge and experience in banking.
Thank you for allowing me the opportunity to meet with you. I have been looking forward to tonight's engagement since I assumed my new role as country manager. I want to reassure you that I am committed to providing the highest standard of service to you. We, my team and I, will continue to do our very best to earn the right to be your financial services provider of choice. We look forward to your continued support and thank you for partnering with RBC to help our clients thrive and our communities prosper.
She takes up the position from Armour Johnson, who exited the company sometime late in 2015. An introductory cocktail took place at the Fortune Hotel on Thursday evening and was attended by clients, friends, and staff of the bank. And Henry is of St. Lucian descent. Journalist Kalal John Baptist calls on officials of the Ministry of Education to ensure that the person behind missing funds from the Monjon Primary School Savings Program is held responsible. According to an audit report dated October 5, 2015, for the period September 1, 2011 to August 31, 2015, a number of findings were revealed to include one withdrawal from an NCCU account during that period, despite several payments to members, as well as no deposits made despite several collections. John Baptist outlined a number of other fraudulent activities as highlighted in the audit report.
During the period of audit, there was one parent whose child's passbook showed an amount of $146.70. The corresponding personal ledger account at the school showed that the account was closed, but with no closing date. There was no withdrawal from withdrawal account, account number 14. Account number 9, marked closed as at July 2, 2013 on the school personal ledger. The parent indicated that neither she nor her child has received the $51.75 balance. She also indicated that the signature on the withdrawal slip was neither her own or that of her son. I am convinced, based on the patterns of the facilitation of the savings program, that the monies of the saving program were used as a personal cash flow for some individual or individuals. There is also the biggest concern of note, account number 8, cash shortage. There is an accumulative cash shortage of $1,073.28 during the period. This actually strengthens the above point. Someone must be held responsible for payment of these monies.
According to John Baptist, the auditor shared the view that the perpetrator used the savings program as a personal cash flow and made a number of recommendations to the school's principal to include ensuring that the person responsible for conducting transactions during the period of audit repay the cash shortage. John Baptist has threatened to make public the name of the person involved if monies are not paid by Monday, July 25, 2016.
One teacher should be responsible for the savings program and collections based on the collections passed to the principal for lodgements as well as withdrawals from deposit account. Two, all passbooks held at the school should be returned to students and this practice discontinued with immediate effect. Three, that all monies received must be lodged within 3 days. Four, person responsible for conducting transactions during the period of audit should be made to repay the cash shortage with immediate effect. So the government sanctioned an audit, and an audit was done, an independent audit was done, found the person, the principal of the school to be wanting, monies missing, and instead of asking her to repay the monies, she was given another job transferred to the ministry in Roseau, given a bigger posting. What a travesty of justice in the Commonwealth of Dominica. I'm asking her to come clean, pay the people their money. We are giving her today, Matt, hopefully by Monday, God willing, pay the people their money. Otherwise, I will expose her name to the general public.
In local news, Director General of the Organization of Eastern Caribbean States, Dr. Didacus Jules, is defending Dominica's absence from the second sitting of OECS Assembly, which was held in Antigua on Thursday. The OECS met for its first meeting since 2012, with only one bill and one motion on its agenda. There was, however, no delegation from the island of Dominica. Dr. Jules says there was a valid reason.
And Dominica, the Prime Minister is in fact preparing his budget, so there was no delegation from Dominica. He had real challenges. In fact, Prime Minister Gonzalez exercised his maximum influence within Liat, and we did get a lot of cooperation from Liat trying to ensure that all delegates were able to attend.
DLP government says it is optimistic that Dominicans residing abroad will come back home following the presentation of the 2016-2017 national budget. Finance Minister Roosevelt Skerritt says this is as a result of the number of jobs that will be created with the allocations in the budget. The national budget will be presented to Parliament for approval on Tuesday, July 26, 2016. Skerritt says he believes citizens will be pleased with the budget.
I believe that people will be well pleased with the budget. I think the budget will be able to address a number of the concerns of the people. We will see a lot of money being spent in the economy, and it will enhance the employment numbers, the employment opportunities. It will enhance the businesses, the services which the private sector provides. I mean, contractors will have work, truckers will have work, heavy equipment operators will have a lot of work. And I see a situation where many Dominicans who reside in St. Martin and Antigua and the other islands will come back home, as some of them are already doing, to pick up work in Dominica. You're going to have a lot of work taking place. A lot of jobs and a lot of contracts and so forth, and you're going to require a large number of people to provide those services. So we just have to work together. You know, we can criticize, yes, but let the criticism be constructive. But one will agree that this government is on the right track and doing all of the important things that are required to take us to the next level.
And a parliamentary representative for the Rosa Valley constituency, Dr. Colin McIntyre, has expressed satisfaction with the progress that has been made on rehabilitation works in that constituency. On April 26, 2016, four contracts were signed for rehabilitation works in the Rosa Valley following Tropical Storm Erica. All the contractors employed for the projects are said to be residents of the Rosa Valley.
We had one in the Fokan area where we were putting this retaining wall, where we had some excess flooding that, you know, eroded the edge and causing an edge failure. That one actually is about 95% complete. I must commend the contractors for really speeding up this process. But this one, and we're actually driving on the road like there's no edge failure again, just a little retaining wall to be built. That's the one of Curtis Luke and the folks at the valley there. Now, we also had the one in the higher Bayak area, where they're about, I would say, as Curtis Luke again, I would say they're just about 50% complete. They're coming up with that wall, finishing that wall down in Fokane, coming up with this wall. And we go to the Bayak area, where they're working as well, too. That's Mr. Alvin Charles, a larger project, a much larger retaining wall. I would put them at the rate of about, with my limited engineering skills from what I see there, I'd put them at about 35%, well, maybe about 40%.
He says works have also commenced on the rehabilitation of the Wharton Waven and Cochrane roads.
It's going to be done on a phase basis. That will be at least $529,000 project given to the Public Works Department, where they have started the excavation of that road. And in the reverse estate area, we're excavating and we're going to be repairing the three main edge failures before we start looking at servicing the road. Again, the budget would inform much more on that project. These are projects that we promised the people of Cochrane when we went to them, requesting their support, and which they definitely pledged their support to us. And it was based on the mutual benefit and relationship. And I want to say to the people of Cochrane, I've kept my word. I've always kept my word to them. And I don't speak if I'm not sure. And I'm sure of this one, so I'm speaking now. People of Wharton Waven have given support as well, too. I'm not saying because they give support, we're looking at the country from a holistic point of view in terms of tourism. But when we say things to people, we mean it and we deliver on them.
He says a few other projects are also on the cards for that constituency.
A major HPLA there, which we have to take care of. And of course, we almost completed this, the drawings of it and how we move with it. It's an important wall for Fokani and the entire valley, making sure that we don't cut it off. Of course, the dredging of that river to take care of the folks at the Coptol, lower Coptol area there, as well as the Martin Allen area, as well as part of Fokani as well too. We must dredge that river because the riverbed is high. This is a bridge I really want open very soon. And I've been at it trying to get us to move along with putting in that center column, which has to be modified to take the second panel of the bridge so we can have a bridge going across there.
In more news this afternoon, for the second time in 2 weeks, the U.S. Embassy in Bridgetown has explicitly refuted as untrue claims by original prime ministers in relation to the deportation of criminals back to their respective countries of origin. In the latest press statement on Wednesday, the embassy rejected assertions by St. Vincent and the Grenadines Prime Minister, Dr. Ralph Gonsalves, that the United States does not provide original governments with full information regarding criminal deportees. However, according to the U.S. Embassy, the United States government only deports convicted criminals back to their country of origin in consultation with that country's government. And Britain's decision to leave the EU has led to a dramatic deterioration in economic activity not seen since the aftermath of the financial crisis. Data from the IHS Markets Purchasing Managers Index, or PMI, shows a fall to 47.7 in July, the lowest level since April in 2009. A reading below 50 indicates contraction. Both manufacturing and service sectors saw a decline in output and orders. However, exports picked up, driven by the weakening of the pound. The report surveyed more than 650 services companies from sectors including transport, business services, computing, and restaurants. And that's the midday news, but first, a recap of our headlines. Journalist Kalal John Baptist wants perpetrator to come clean on missing monies from Monjon Primary Savings Program. U.S. Barbados Embassy again slaps down claims of deportation of criminals by original prime ministers. And data suggests Brexit causes dramatic drop in UK economy. The news is brought to you through the very kind compliments of Courts Dominica Limited, Fast Cash and Argo Cement. Remember, if you missed any of our newscasts this week, log on to our website at www.q95da.com to view the stories, or click on the podcast icon to listen to the various package. Also, for any breaking story or latest development, send us your iReports via text or WhatsApp message at 615-1426 or 276-2147. On behalf of the entire Q95 News team, I have been your presenter, Kimberly Benjamin.